Lecture 1. Defining American English Dialects.
Truck, lorry, elevator, lift, suspenders, braces, vest, waistcoat, shorts, pants, panties, knickers. What? We all know that American English is different from British English. Sometimes the translations are easy, sometimes they're confusing, and occasionally we can really embarrass ourselves. And vocabulary differences are only part of the picture. There are also pronunciation and grammatical differences between American and British English. Americans say father and mother. In British English, it's father and mother. Also in America, we say the government is debating the issue and the team is winning the game. In England, the verb can also be are. The government are debating, the team are winning. There are also lots of differences within American English. We know a lot about these too, but there may be some things we'd like to know more about. How many American English dialects are there? Where are they spoken? And what exactly is a dialect in the first place? Are dialects the same thing as accents? Are they slang? And why would we be interested in knowing more about dialects anyway? Shouldn't we be more concerned with making sure we know proper English? In this course, we're going to tackle all of these questions and more. We'll approach our exploration from the perspective of linguistics, the scientific study of human language. More specifically, our viewpoint is that of sociolinguistics, the study of language in its social setting, in all of its rich variety across geographic and social space, and in its interrelation to cultural, social, interpersonal, and personal identity. Let's start with the first couple questions. What are the dialects of American English, and where are they spoken? Picture a U.S. map. Where would you draw the dialect lines? If you're like most Americans, you probably thought of the South right away and drew a mental map around the southeastern United States. For some of you, this line extends as far west as Texas, while for others, Texas is its own dialect area. Florida is usually left out of the South dialect region since it's considered to be a region of dialect transplants, including retired people from the North and people of Hispanic heritage from the Caribbean islands. Beyond the South, you may have also drawn a North or a New England, or you might have gotten more specific and labeled the speech varieties of certain cities within these larger regions, maybe Chicago in the Midwest, maybe New York City and Boston on the East Coast. Your dialect lines probably get fuzzier as you think about the Western United States, though you might have indicated a California English or West Coast English. Hawaii and Alaska are pretty far away from the mainland U.S., so you probably wouldn't have grouped them in with any of the continental dialect divisions. It turns out that people's mental maps of American dialect regions align pretty closely with the dialect lines laid out by sociolinguists and dialect geographers. The most important dialect line in the U.S. is, in fact, between the South and the non-South. The dividing line doesn't exactly follow the Mason-Dixon line, but it's pretty close. Essentially, the line that sets off the South starts off between Maryland and Virginia and runs through southern West Virginia, Kentucky, southern Missouri, southern Oklahoma, and Texas. The northern dialect line separates off New York State from Pennsylvania and runs through northern Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, and extends westward into eastern Nebraska, South Dakota, and the whole of North Dakota. Many dialect geographers also draw a Midland dialect area between the North and South. This area encompasses the parts of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma that aren't situated neatly in the North or South. We're probably all familiar with some of the more noticeable features of Southern American English. We know that words like time and ride are pronounced as tam and rad. We also know that groups of people are addressed as y'all. We might even be familiar with some Southern grammatical structures like I'm fixing to go to the store for I'm about to go to the store and I might could go with you, which seems to be a softer way of saying I think I can go, but I'm not sure. The Midland dialect is in some ways a compromise between the North and the South, but in other ways it's unique. It's in the Midland that we hear sentence structures like the car needs washed for the car needs washing, and there sure is a lot of traffic anymore, for there's a lot of traffic nowadays. And the Midland is a key source of the main pronunciation feature that now separates standard American English from proper British English, mother and father instead of mother and father. In addition to the major dialect areas of the U.S. East Coast, the North, Midland, and South, there are smaller dialects and sub-dialects. Eastern New England, Western New England, and the Mid-Atlantic each form their own dialect area. One feature of Eastern New England that separates it from most of the rest of the U.S. is dropping R's instead of pronouncing them. So people stereotype speakers of Boston English with phrases like park the car and have it yard. It also turns out that Appalachia and Texas do count as sub-dialects of Southern English. They share many features with the wider South, but they also have some differences that make them distinct. For example, in the Appalachian South, also called the Inland South, we're more likely to hear pronunciations like fish for fish than we are in other Southern dialect areas. And in both the Inland South and Texas South, we'll hear a lot more ah for I than we will anywhere else.